This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. And we're talking a little Titans football, a little Brady, a little bit of everything that has to do with the Tennessee Titans. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in our good buddy, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, good morning. Appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. Obviously, want to start off first, Teron, by just saying hope you and the family are well, given everything that's happened in our community this week. What's kind of been your response if you've seen, obviously the devastating tornado in our area, the community rallying around each other, the Titans donating $1 million to help out in relief efforts? Just what's this week been like from your vantage point as you've watched everything unfold?
Yeah, well, fortunately, it did skip by me. I'm over here off of Bell Road, and we were okay. So that is a blessing, at least for me personally. We went out and we walked through Germantown, and it's terrible, the devastation out there. You really feel bad for people, but I do love the way everyone's coming together. You see people walking around handing out oranges and water. I want to shout out the Predators, too. You know, they opened Bridgestone Arena for those who need it. Just a place to have lunch and get away from it all. So that was really great on their part. And you're right. You know, the city is coming together. The Titans are going to be at a local high school distributing supplies and things this morning. So I'll be going to that. And I'm seeing, you know, how the city has been able to come together, and it's great to see.
It really has been great to see, and it's just been, I think, kind of a reminder of how strong our area is. So glad that you and the family, Teron, are okay. Obviously, you know, the Brady situation will not go away. There were reports out of Boston yesterday that are saying the Titans are using the Brady situation to lock in Tannehill to a cheaper rate in their negotiations. How realistic do you think that is, that the Titans this entire time could be using everything that's going on in the circus that has been Tom Brady's potential free agency to really use it in their advantage in negotiations with Ryan Tannehill?
I don't know how much I put in that. I think John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, I think they're pretty straightforward guys. I don't really see them doing something like that, but I mean, you never know what happens in negotiations, but I feel like they haven't stood behind it and they haven't just completely brushed it off the table. I think they're just playing the field. And at the end of the day, Ryan Tannehill, I firmly believe, is the one that they want back. And I think he's the one they're going to have back. And I think those negotiations are just going to, you know, continue to work out. And I firmly believe he'll be the Titans quarterback next year.
Do you firmly believe he'll be the quarterback on a long-term deal, Toronto? Do you think the tag is possible here?
I think actually the tag is possible just to get those exclusive negotiating rights because, you know, here's the thing. If they place the tag on him, it's not the end-all, be-all. That just gives them the opportunity to negotiate exclusively with him, you know, so he can't go and put together a deal with another team. So I think the tag can be done and they could have a deal set up. Obviously you have until July, I believe it is, to, you know, negotiate the deal. So, yeah, the tag could be in play.
Teron, how ready are you to see a resolution to this Tom Brady saga with everything that's been swirling around as of late?
Oh, yeah, I'm very ready. I would love to know one way or the other what's going on because, you know, I get tired of getting on the phone with my editor and talking about possibilities as far as stories with the Tom Brady thing, man. And it's nuts, you know, and I'd rather know just going forward what I'm going to be dealing with for the season, you know.
Okay, but selfishly, just take out the Titans and what they should do because I think we all agree on that. Yeah, you know, I think it should be Tannehill, but selfishly, and I'm with you, the story ideas are flying right now about Tom Brady. Would you enjoy it? Like if you could just pick something that would make next year more interesting, would you pick Brady?
Oh, yeah. I think that would
We're
that
all
would
in
get
on
more
the Brady train.
SC hits, man. Yeah, you know, more TV hits and those kind of things. So, yeah, for sure, I would pick that. And you know what that means, more primetime games for us to go to as well.
God, you'd be on SportsCenter like every 5 minutes,
we know
man.
How fashionable.
You might get sick of it, though.
We know how fashionable Teron is. I mean, he would be a hit on SportsCenter. He'd be on there all the time.
Those bow ties,
yeah,
man. You have to get
definitely.
Some more, though.
Oh, no, I have a whole duffel bag full. I'm good to go.
Teron, we've seen in the past, John Robinson is not afraid to move around in the draft if he feels like that's necessary. Obviously, there are a ton of questions that have to be answered before then via free agency. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they're not able to sign Jack Conklin and they lose him. Do you think they're more likely to move up to try to get the right tackle that they want, or do you think they could find a tackle at the 29th spot in the draft that could come in and that could play immediately?
I think they could find a tackle at 29 or even in the second round. I feel first-round option for them. Josh Jones, I think, from Houston will be there. Second round, I think Lucas Niang out of TCU. I really like that kid. You watch his 2018 tape. It's much better than last year because he was healthy. A couple other options in the second round, Austin Jackson out of USC, Ezra Cleveland out of Boise. There are different guys that they could get that could come in and start right away. It's just, you know, you got a lot of youth on that right side. So I really think that if Conklin goes, Dennis Kelly is someone they're going to have to bring in. And for what I've heard, he's going to get plenty of interest on the market.
Well, Teron, the CBA is with the players now. It's interesting they have a week here. And I know here and there you see some reactions trickling out. What's your sense right now on, first of all, how that ended up? What do you think of the proposal as it stands? And what do you think is going to be the outcome here?
Yeah, I just would like to see it lead to more money for the players if they're going to be asked to play an extra game, right? And it's just interesting because it's kind of causing a divide, right, between the guys who are making a lot of money and the guys who are, you know, veteran minimum or you know, mid-level players. And I don't like that part, but there's a lot of give and take, and I hope that they can come to a conclusion. I don't see it coming to an agreement. I don't see that happening in the near future. I don't think it'll happen before the season starts.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Morning Drive. TD, thanks so much for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. And I hope you guys didn't get affected by the storm either.
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah, thank you for
lucky,
asking.
Man.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to you later.
All right, TD. We'll see you. I do wonder, like, how tired are, like, Titans fans of hearing about Brady? Like, do they – is that something that they have just kind of checked out on? Because they a lot of people will say they have. But they'll be the first one, like if Brady comes here, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
It's Tom Brady.
I knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
I knew he was coming.
Yeah. Well, and every day there's a new, you know, it's a new report.
It is.
But
every
day. You know, there's heavy competition, obviously, to try to find something out in this. The problem is the people who are really making decisions here are not showing their cards. So you've got like a source who's kind of speculating what they think might happen. The last thing, again, from Greg Bedard, I mean, that's how I've read it too, but we will soon find out, thankfully for all of us.
Yes, we will. And speaking of, Munson, there's a new report, isn't there?
There's a new report, Joe Richard.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, the breaking news sounder. Look at Munson.
Jeremy Fowler, a guy we've had on the show before, is reporting some other stuff, too. We're going
to
talk about that, Joe.
We absolutely
I know
are.
You don't want to, Joe.
I'm trying to find it right now.
But we're going
to
talk about it.
You don't need to look for it. We're going to talk. We'll let you know.
No, Joe, we'll let you hear it. Next.
I'm going to hit my button.
My people will let your people hear.
Yeah, I'm going to mute myself
you
now.
Keep your button away, and we'll be back to talk about that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad and Marquise Munson here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. And you heard it there from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. Says, quote, I was told the Titans believe they have a pretty good chance in a head-to-head matchup with the Patriots to land Tom Brady, end quote.
Sounds like great leverage.
Sounds like great leverage
like nothing,
to me, too.
Nothing he said changes what I think about this situation. It's great. They probably do feel that way. They're probably right. Doesn't mean that they want to actually sign him instead of Tannehill, does it? No.
No, it doesn't mean that. Now, you do have to remember, I understand they just had a great season with Tannehill, and look, I'm 100% with you. I think they should re-sign him. But John Robinson, where did he come from? New England. Where does Mike Vrabel have a background? New England. Do you think that there's not legitimate interest in there, that this is just this is totally a negotiation ploy? Because it is Tom Brady. I mean, it's the golden boy, and they've been around Brady for a long time. And look, I get it. He's much older now, 42 years old. But I think there's at least a little bit of smoke. It's not all negotiation
no,
to me.
I'm not saying it is all. Of course not, because you don't know 100% that you're going to be able to sign Tannehill. You don't know that.
Sure.
So if you have another viable alternative, by all means, you know, keep that open. Have that opportunity. You, if you're the Titans, you have to have one of these guys be your quarterback next year. I mean, I guess you could, you know, if you lose out on both of them, could you, if you end up with like a Bridgewater or something, that wouldn't be disastrous. But basically, it would be a complete downer for this. I mean, it would be really bad.
Bring me LASIK Jameis. Get him here. LASIK Jameis.
That would be amazing, actually.
Yes, it would.
That would also, even though Brady, we talk about what a circus that would be. I mean, if Jameis Winston were here, that'd also be very interesting and fun. But no, you got to have one of these two guys. I'm not saying it's all a ploy. I think there's legitimate interest in Tom Brady, and I think from him here. But I also think that in the end, he will have served as an effective negotiating aid. How much of one, I don't know. And like Jeremy Fowler said, I'm not surprised to hear Ryan Tannehill wants $30 million a year. That's what good quarterbacks
get
paid in this league
now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
not
like an extreme number for Ryan Tannehill, I don't think.
That's what good quarterbacks are getting paid. I mean, it's amazing to think that a year ago, what if someone said, you know, Tannehill's going to be, you know, getting about 30 a pop after next year. What? But that's how things change in this league. Listen, I think there's real interest, and I think the Titans would have a real chance. I just don't think that – I think it's going to be Tannehill. So put me on record. We'll see.
You're on record. So
I'm on record. It's Tannehill.
Let's go to Nate, who has called in wanting to weigh in on this topic. Nate, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I might feel – like an idiot after I ask this question, but for the life of me, I can't think of the answer. How can the Titans leverage with Tannehill when they're going after Tom Brady? Usually the players are trying to, you know, say, hey, I should get paid more. I've been playing well. This is what the top guy's playing. I feel like I need close to that. Or so, I've never heard of a team trying to leverage to get a discount.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's not like – it's like indirect leverage, you know? I mean, it's basically like the threat of Tom Brady is interested in us, and everybody would have some level of interest in Tom Brady, even though he's old.
And so, if you're the Titans, you're saying, you know, Tannehill, if you're still going to hang around that hypothetical number of $30 million, $32 million, whatever it is, if that's the case, we'll just go get Brady.
You know? Yeah, but I don't think, I mean, like, at the table, that won't. I don't think that's coming up.
I don't think so either.
It's just that we know in the real, out here in the world, and all this stuff's flying around, and it's in Tannehill's mind. It's in
his agent's
mind.
I like the way you put that, indirect leverage.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, they're not going to go to the table and say, hey, buddy, 27 or we go get Brady. He loves us. You know, it's not that. But if you're Tannehill, you have to have some doubt in your mind about whether they are so desperate for you that you are their only option. So if you know that you're not their only option and you really want to be here, does that affect the back and forth in the negotiation? Hey, if you're the Titans, if you can shave a couple million off here and a couple million off here, that's another, you know, decent player you can add to your roster.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. The other factor is this. What do we think, if it gets to this point, what's the market value for Tannehill around the league? Let's say Brady is here. Like, how does that affect what Tannehill makes? Because do we think he can go somewhere else and make more than he would make here? And does that influence his decision at all?
Possibly. I would have to think, you know, it's funny. I think when you talk to people still, like, for example, we talked to Charles Robinson yesterday, and, you know, I talked to him in Indy, and there's still, for someone who didn't watch every single snap of Tannehill, there's still the, yeah, but Miami, it's one
there's
year.
There's a hesitation there.
But if you're a team and your entire job, if you're a GM and your job, I mean, John Robinson, like, from what I can gather, like, watches hours of film every day of, like, potential fifth round lineman, like, and certainly watches film of potential free agent signings.
Yeah.
So a GM in the NFL is going to closely look at Ryan Tannehill. And if you did study him last year, I think you're willing to pay him some money to be your quarterback if you need a quarterback. So yes, I think it's definitely likely that Tannehill has interest from other teams and could make a lot of money elsewhere. Again, I'm going to go back to, if you're him, you believe in yourself, and you look around, and you're open to that, but you also should be motivated to be in the same situation you were just in that helped create the best football of your life.
Got a text on the text line that says, let's be honest, if we do sign Tannehill, it would be a short contract like 2 years, which would probably be what we would give Brady. So why spend the money on Tannehill not knowing what we're going to get when we can get Brady knowing what we're going to get with the greatest of all time? Let's keep it real.
Oh, God.
And furthermore, when's the last time Brady didn't make the playoffs? It has been a while since he hadn't made the playoffs.
Name, please. Who texted that?
There's no name attached.
Oh. Listen, nameless. The problem is you don't know what you're going to... Because he's nameless. Because he's the greatest of all time. I hate that argument. Like Corey Curtis. I love you, Corey Curtis. We were talking to Corey Curtis back and forth about Brady versus Tannehill. He's like, six rings. Well, that's what he has done in the past. It doesn't – we're talking about – how could we not – look, I'm in my 40s. I will tell you, I am not quite as athletic as I was in my 30s.
When but I was very athletic. Here to the TB12 eating program.
Which, by the way, I looked at yesterday, and it's not as crazy as I thought. Like, he actually – he'll have a slice of pizza every now and then. I mean, I felt better for him. I thought he really was just having kale shakes.
It really did seem like a miserable way to live. No, so I'm glad there's some substance to it.
It's not all that bad. But look, like Brady's past achievements cannot be taken away from him, but they don't mean that that's what you're getting next year or beyond. And also, I disagree on Tannehill. I think the deal would be about 4 years.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that that's a fair number. And if you sign him, you actually feel like you could have four good quarterbacking years. How many good quarterbacking years do you think you're signing with Brady? You sign Brady because you think you are this close to winning a Super Bowl and he can push you over the top. If you believe that, fine. I would have my doubts about that.
We're going to have Terry Crisp join us in the next segment to get back into the Preds. But before we do that, Joe, I have to read this to you because I think as someone who attends Mike Vrabel press conferences all the time, you will enjoy this thoroughly. This comes from Kyle Brandt. says Mike Vrabel on Good Morning Football was asked how people can help in the wake of the disaster in Tennessee. Here is the quote from Mike Vrabel in that response. Quote, they can get out and start to clean up instead of taking pictures like I see people doing. Put your phones down and pick up branches, end quote.
Boom.
Can you not see Mike Vrabel just saying that? I mean, that's the most Mike Vrabel thing I've ever heard.
Standing ovation for Vrabes. I'm giving him a standing ovation for that one. That's awesome.
Put your phones down, people.
Put the damn phone down.
I agree with him 100.
I do, too. It's
100%. Just, I was going to say 110, but that's not an actual number.
Gawkers in this situation have no value.
I agree 100%. It's just you don't really hear a head coach say that very often or stuff like that. Vrabel, he just doesn't care. It's so awesome how like direct he is.
Well, that's why, right, like on football stuff, you know, he tries to take the Belichick route sometimes, but really that's him.
Yes.
So the more of that we get, the better.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
There's no question about it. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the legendary Preds TV analyst, Terry Criss. We'll get into what we saw last night in the game against the Dallas Stars and what they need to do to repeat that tomorrow in Dallas as they take on the Stars at 1 o'clock. Terry Crisp joining us next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. We're talking Preds and their big win against the Dallas Stars last night. And to help us talk more about that, we bring in our good friend Terry Crisp, brought to you by Highland Group, Preds TV analyst. Crispy, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Good morning, Lord Stanley, Road Rec. How you two guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Crispy, first off, hope that you and the family are well from earlier this week. Obviously, the tragedy that swept through our area with the tornado outbreak. What did you make of kind of the response the Predators had last night, selling T-shirts, raising money, and just the emotion in the crowd? I thought it was a really, really emotional crowd and a cool environment last night at Bridgestone Arena.
You know what? The story, the tornado itself was so devastating, and the news that we kept hearing and the families and people who lost loved ones or neighbors, et cetera, is so horrible. And you there's no words that are going to describe that or what happened, and our prayers and thoughts go out to all of them. But This city, I've never been, and Sheila, my wife and I were talking, we have never been in a city that is so open, so giving, and that name, the volunteer state, they jump to it. They don't wait for a week. They don't wait for FEMA to come in. They don't wait for somebody to hand out from the government to give them money. They dive in. They get their trucks, and as the coach was saying, their shovels and whatever, and they're out that night, the next day. And that, to me, is what I love about Nashville. And the Predators, like the Titans and a lot of other corporations, et cetera, they dive in. They reach into where it helps the most, the money, the wallet, give them or whatever, open up the Bridgestone or open up Centennial. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me because we were here when the flood. And see, our first episode with Nashville and Tennessee and a disaster was when the flood went through in 2010. And we saw the same thing. And we're going to see it continuing here. And I heard you gentlemen talking about it. And we are, I know the storm just went through, but we're blessed with a lot of the people and the citizens of Middle Tennessee and all around us.
No doubt about that. And, Terry, we were also talking earlier about, you know, the players. Obviously, they talked about this before the game and after the game. And, you know, sometimes emotion isn't necessarily a good thing in terms of sports performance. But do you think that the circumstances had any positive effect on this team last night?
I certainly do. I think when you go through something like this as players and their wives and their children, and you come out of it and you still have your family and whatnot around you, it hits home. Sometimes you take for granted what you have and what you're making and what you're doing. And when something like this hits you, you sit in that dressing room and you're looking around and you're giving your prayers saying, thank you, Lord. But, hey, there's a lot of people out there. Maybe tonight we can give them just a little respite, a little 2.5-3 hours of take their mind off it and a little extra. And then let's give them a win. Let's give them something to leave our building with a little cheer before they have to go out and face that again. And, of course, the players in my heart and when I was in the dressing room or in coaching and management, it definitely, definitely do take that to heart.
Crispy, I thought last night was one of the more solid efforts from start to finish that I've seen from this group in a while. What did you take away from their 2-0 win last night against Dallas?
Probably I take away the fact that they're finally starting to play what we thought they were capable of. Where decide they're going to play the type of game that we know they can play. And I think it's finally settling in, and it's going to take a whole team to do it. And not just certain guys have to come to the front. These guys know they do. And last night they started to come to the front. Now, they're not all the way back. They played a solid game, the guys I'm thinking of. But I said today when I was sitting here having my coffee and doing my notes, one, I said, you know what? They say, what are you going to do? We're going up into Dallas again. What do you have to do to just hit the reset button? Make the guys sit down as a team and play the high spots with how they beat that Dallas team. Because Dallas is a good team, and our guys played. Cyrus played out of his skull to start with. He gets a shutout, and the guys showed up. Usually Dallas runs over top of us. Dallas is a big, strong, physical team. They didn't run over us last night. They knew that they had a little critter by the tail, and it was doing it. And the guys last night, I thought, played the game they're capable of. Both ends of the ice, coming out of their own zone, attacking, skating. And that, I don't know why we should all be so happy about it, because the 2 points I'm going to take and love it and put it in the column. But why are we not playing this all the time like this? Why they can't come back to us and say they can't do it, we're not capable. Yeah, they are capable of doing how they played last night.
So if there was one aspect of it, Terry, because we've talked about, you know, not making the mistakes in the defensive zone, you know, getting to those tough areas, making good passes. If there was one aspect of that game from last night that you would take forward, what would it be?
Forechecking. I'm still not totally sold in our defensive play, in our defensive zone. We had too many Saros point blank, great, unreal saves that he had to make because some of the guys went to sleep periodically, which you can't keep doing throughout the games that we've seen. That's the one here I want cleared up. And like I said, I'm not letting up on that. I'm going to beat that drum until I see what I like and what's doing it. But I loved our forecheck. We were heavy on the forecheck. The first man went in. He wasn't looking to steal the puck or to give a happy stick and wave the stick at them. He took the body. He made them pay a price. Second man came wheeling in looking for the puck to have it. The third man was the cutoff. Our defensemen didn't do the dumb pinch down when they knew they shouldn't pinch down the boards into the offensive zone. They stayed out. They played smart, and they backed each other. The game I liked best was our heavy forecheck.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, brought to you by Highland Group. And Crispy, Forsberg finally gets one to go in for him last night. He hadn't scored in more than a month. What can seeing a puck actually go in the net do for a guy like Forsberg, who's been known at times, once he gets rolling and sees some goes in, he could score in bunches?
You know what? That was humor, if you guys probably know it. Did you notice a smile on his face when he looked up?
Oh, yeah.
To the heavens when he scored that goal? I mean, here's a natural-born goal scorer. Here's a natural-born hockey player that has all the skill required to be one of the best in the business. And yet when he scored that goal, you could just almost see the wheels turn. He said, finally, I'm getting this machine rolling and going for it. And, yes, that could be a starting point for him. And maybe, just maybe, he's going to realize that he has one of the best shots in the league and should use it more. I want to come off their game, and I want to see where Forsberg has tried 15 to 20 shots. I'm not saying they're all going to get to the net. I'm not saying they're all going to hit the net, but I want to see him firing it because he has as good a shot as anybody in the league.
Special teams, Terry, big last night. Penalty kill's been better lately for sure. Power play gets 2 goals. Where do you think they are on that, and how important is that in these last 15 games?
Extremely. I mean, that's going to be our bread and butter. I mean, we took a lot of penalties last night. I'm not putting the onus solely on the players because some of them were ticky-tacky ones, but they still call them, and we have to learn to quit doing it and not doing it. But the penalty killers went out and did the job, and like I say always, your goaltender is your best penalty killer, and last night Saros was our best penalty killer, by the way. But the power play, what I saw was they weren't giving me and driving me nuts with that around and around and around like a dog chasing his tail passing the puck. It was one or two passes, boom, on net. One or two passes, boom, on net. And guys were arriving in front of the net. And all the way through, you know that Dallas set up a big wall. I mean, they're a tough team. It's hard to get through that wall towards their net to get there. And last night we were arriving. That's what I take away from both our special teams.
Crispy, last thing for you here. You mentioned arriving at the front of the net. I was talking to Stars coach Rick Bowness last night after the game, and he said, you know, getting to the net is more of a matter of will than it is skill. And the Predators have struggled with that this year in terms of at least the consistent nature that they've been able to do it. Can last night be a building block and a formula that John Hines can point to and say, look, this is what happens when you go to the front of the net. These are the opportunities that you can create for yourself.
Exactly. Hit the reset button, John. Coach Hines will hit that reset button and say, see what happened? Yeah, you're going to get battered. Yeah, you're going to get dinged. And I often say, I hope we kept some old tapes or old video of Patrick Hornqvist, probably the greatest we ever seen on this, on our hockey club, go to the front of that net. And remember, we used to say that he led the league in face washes from the other team, giving him the glove in the face and whatnot. That's what I'm looking for from a lot of our guys. And that's what Granlund was doing. And while he was successful on his hunt, when he was getting all his goals, was they know they're going to pay a price. You know it's going to hurt, especially when you look at the big defenseman Dallas having that. Okay, it's going to hurt. It only hurts for a little while when the puck goes in their net.
Actually, I got one more for you, Chris, because I swear I learn a new word or a term from you every time. Now, so you're the first guy in the offensive zone, and you don't lay a body on someone, and you're just kind of waving it. That's a happy stick?
Well, think about it. The guy's there, and you go in, and you wave your stick in the air. You don't hit him. You don't hit the puck, and away you go. Hey, how you doing? I'm out of here. I'm in and out. I say to those guys, why don't you just paint a little happy face on your stick, for crying out loud, like you do the happy truck killer or whatever it is, and wave to him, and away you go. Make an 18-wheel turn and leave.
You're the best,
Terry Criss, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he is a legend. Crispy, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
I love it, guys. Love being with you. And like I said, our prayers and thoughts go to all of the people that lost people and family and friends out there. And, yes, we are Nashville, Mid-Tennessee, Putnam County strong.
Absolutely. Thanks, Crispy.
Thanks, guys.
Terry Criss brought to you by Highland Group, the happy stick. I like that.
Yeah, I've never
start,
heard that
I
one.
May start using that.
May as well put a little smiley face on you.
You hang around Terry Criss long enough, you'll hear several different sayings that you had no idea have existed before, but are awesome, all of them.
I'd like to do a, you know, like a podcast with no bleeping.
Yes, I would too.
It is always informative and entertaining to talk with Terry Criss.
There is no question about it. And we're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break. When we come back, can Forsberg and Duchesne, after their big performance last night, can this be what finally gets them going consistently, at least on a hot streak here for the next little while, in the right direction? We'll talk about that next. But first, 102.5 The Game is your local donation station. We're accepting donations to help in the tornado disaster relief efforts. The Nashville Community Resource Center is in need of the following items: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, and trash bags, just to name a few. Donations will be accepted Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. here at our studio located at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here in Nashville. To see the full list of items, visit thegamenashville.com/donations. We'll be right back on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside what was a stationary Joe Rexroth, but is now up and about in the studio dancing. I'm not quite sure how we got here.
That was me dancing?
Yes.
I'll show you dancing.
I'm not sure I want to see that.
Yeah, I won't. I could break dance back in the day, though.
Yeah, could you really?
Joe has cardboard in his trunk. I've seen it.
I swear to you that when I was 12 years old, like, we had cardboard in our neighborhood, and I would practice backspins all the time. I was pretty good.
Not to toot my own horn or anything, but
I'm just telling you.
I was pretty good.
I was pretty good. I had, like, three different pairs of parachute pants, too.
Do you still have those pants?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, I wish I did, because they would be funny to show my kids. But that was, I mean, parachute pants in, like, 1985, I mean, you
do
had
kids
to have
today,
parachute
like,
pants.
Do they know what parachute pants are? Like, if you walked up to
Marquise,
your kids.
Do you know what parachute pants are?
Yeah, I know.
Marquise is older than I am.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you walked up to your kids and were like, hey, I'm going to go. Let's go to the store. Like, I'm looking for a pair of parachute pants.
You got
to
call them,
any idea what you're talking about?
Well, you got to call them hammer pants. You got to call them hammer pants.
Yeah, but
for
hammer
the new generation.
That's not the same thing though. Yeah, like the hammer vanilla ice pants, those big billowy, like it's like wearing a tent. You know, parachute pants were like, you know, form fitting. They had the zippers.
Yeah.
And they were great for breakdancing in because, you know, you could slide around in them.
Very stylish, too.
Some Vans, some checkered Vans. You know? I watched the movie, like, the movie Breakin'. I mean, I was at the theater, like, day one for that. Oh, yeah, man. Turbo and Ozone. I mean, they were, like, my heroes. And then Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, you know, got a little off track. But
still, wait, as it usually does with the sequel.
Wasn't Ice-T in Breakin'? Was Ice-T not in Breaking?
I don't.
He was in a breakdancing movie, I'm pretty sure.
Now, there was also Beat Street. Beat Street had Melly Mel, Grandmaster Flash. I don't remember Ice-T. I don't know. But it's possible. If he was, it was a bit part. I mean, no one knew who Ice-T was in 1985, 84, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Breaking.
Ice-T was in Breaking?
Yes.
Are you serious? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I have to rewatch the whole movie. I'm going to make my kids watch it anyway. I was already going to do that. So now I have another reason.
Is that going to happen this weekend?
It might have to.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to Evansville, I think, for the OVC. So at some point, it'll happen in the future.
Well, good. You'll have to give us an update on that when that happens.
I will.
I'm sure you're ready for it.
Tweet out some clips. Video, it's a great movie.
Yes. I really want you to break dance, too. That's got to be a part of the video.
Honestly, I have showed my kids some moves, so.
Good.
But that's
a true father should.
Yeah, like you get me at a wedding and you never know.
You know who's uncredited that's in this movie? Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm looking at the.
Did he kick anyone?
No, I don't think he did. He plays the spectator in the first dance sequence.
What in the? I mean, seriously,
who knew?
This movie is
so
a treasure trove.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd love to know where Turbo and Ozone are now. Turbo was awesome.
There's no telling.
Turbo was an unbelievable break dancer. I'm gonna look them up.
Joe, we had Crispy on in the last segment, and he was talking about, you know, Forsberg using his shot more. And I have always believed that Forsberg, I mean, he shoots, but he doesn't shoot to the level of, like, somebody that you would consider an elite level. Like, he's not firing 8-10 attempts on net per game. Like, Alex Ovechkin, and this is an extreme example, I realize that. Ovechkin may be the greatest individual goal scorer of all time. I understand that. But Ovechkin's firing pucks from everywhere, and he's got a great shot. Philip Forsberg's shot is not like Alex Ovechkin's, but he's got a very, very good shot. And I've talked to Pecorine about it. I've talked to Saros about it. A lot of goaltenders around the league I've talked to about it. It's not necessarily that it's overly hard, although it is, you know, he has some pop to it when he wants to. But Forsberg releases his shots from so many different angles that it's just hard to track when it's coming your way. I think he needs to use that more. Sometimes, you know, you hear this saying in basketball, sometimes you just got to shoot your way out of it. Sometimes in hockey, I think you just got to shoot your way out of it. And I'm interested to see, now that he has one, and he's seen one go in the back of the net, as ugly as it might have been, he talked about it last night, by no means was that the prettiest goal in the history of hockey, but he's seen one go in. I wonder now if the confidence starts to come back and he just starts firing that puck, because he's probably the most dangerous option they have in terms of a pure shooter.
Yeah, you know, sitting on press row last night when he approached on the power play, before he released puck, I said, why aren't you shooting the puck? And then he immediately shot the puck and it went in.
Yeah.
I was like, see, I was right. Sometimes you will say that with Ryan Johansson, right? I mean, that's before this year when there's kind of less production overall for Johansson, how much did we talk about shoot the puck?
Yes,
you know,
a lot.
Good things can happen. And it's probably the same thing for Forsberg. Forsberg is, and when he just, you know, plays like the quote-unquote power forward, you know, and gets going downhill, he can be such a problem for people. So maybe, I don't understand, it's just like, I think anything that's a skill in sports, you know, hitting a baseball, you know, shooting a basketball, you know, throwing a football, kicking a football. It's funny how one thing, maybe it's not the greatest shot in the world, but it goes your way, it breaks your way, and it's that little bit of confidence all of a sudden it changes things.
Starts to go
in. And it clearly is a thing with Forsberg. I mean, you can't be as streaky as he has been throughout his career and that not be a factor, right? I mean, right. It's a factor for everybody. It's a factor in sports. It's such a mental thing. So everybody's so skilled and so good, and you know, some people are able to be a little bit more consistent and level. Forsberg seems to be a guy who goes down and goes up. They could really use an uptick for the next month or so.
Yeah, I'll put Duchesne in that category too. I mean, he's got to be a guy that, you know, John Hines last night talked about he's liking the way Duchesne's playing a little bit more as of late and how hard he's working. But the production also has to come with that. It was a great tip last night that he had. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even know how he got to it. It was a really impressive hand-eye coordination there. But he looked like he had some jump to him last night. He had some breakaway opportunities that I think it was Arvidsson missed him on the pass.
Yeah, oh, he was alone,
He was sprung free, and they just missed the pass. But even more than that, he was attacking. He had the puck coming through the zone. There wasn't a whole lot of dumping it in there and going to get it. He was carrying it in with confidence. He looked as good last night as he's looked in a while to me, especially with the puck on his stick. I think he drew a couple penalties in the game as well. Duchesne was really, really solid last night, I thought.
I thought the second penalty that he drew was a total flop. At first I'm like, wait, there was no one. But, you know, he did get tripped.
Yeah.
It was kind of a judgment call. He's very good at that.
He leads the team in penalties drawn.
Yeah, and where was he when he scored? You know, he's where we talk about all the time. Where are you? And yeah, that was even to avoid like a high stick there too, because you had to rise up to get it, but he kept it, low enough. But no, that would be, if those two guys are coming on,
because we've talked, we've said
two of four ain't bad.
Like at this point, it's probably naive to think all four are just going to magically figure it out at the same time. Like, you know, you're 67 games into the year. They haven't all four been going at the same time yet this season. It's probably rare and probably unrealistic to expect that that's going to happen. But if you can get two of the four to get going, maybe Duchesne and Forsberg, those are the two that you start to get going. And I think, honestly, you'd probably be okay with that. I mean, we mentioned last week that we think maybe Ryan Johansson would be the one that we choose out of that group to really get going, because we've seen what his top level looks like and what it can do for this team. But if you get Duchesne's top level, it's right there with Johansson. I mean, it's very similar.
Yeah, you get that and you get Forsberg
scoring,
heating up, then certainly you're much better off. I mean, I still think, Arvidsson is still doing Arvidsson things, and I feel like his speed looks a little bit better lately.
It does look a little
better. But again, now,
still not where it was.
Again, as we talked about, now he's got the whatever it is that Ryan Hartman chopped on him in Minnesota. So, and Arvidsson also, as you said earlier, don't take penalties in the offensive zone.
Yeah, that's got to stop.
But, look, you get those two guys going, that's a promising sign. It's just like anything, though. Next game is its own total entity,
Yeah, if there's one thing we learned about this group, can't really look from game to game. There's not many trends with this group. It's just each game is a complete crapshoot. Things you think may build on the other really haven't this year. And that's, it's taken us 65, 66 games to learn this lesson. I think personally, I finally learned it. Like, I have no idea what to expect tomorrow. None.
Yeah, if they go in and, honestly, a point out of that would be big.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not in the playoff race, so every game you've got to feel like you have to get a point or two. But if they go and it's a really good competitive game and they lose, I still think that's something. You can't have too many more of those, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the mulligans are running out.
Got a text in from the text line. It says, Ice-T was in Breakin' and Breakin' 2.
Really?
So a double dip for Ice-T there.
Man, we're going to have to do a double feature.
We are. Maybe I'll be at the Rex Road House when this is taking place.
Yeah, we should, we should have a big party.
We absolutely should. When we come back, there's talk about someone being traded, and it's not a player.
It's not a coach. It's a broadcaster. We'll get into that next. First, ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official radio home of Nashville Soccer Club. Big game this weekend as they take on the Portland Timbers this Sunday. Pregame begins at 5:45 p.m. with kickoff at 6, only on your exclusive home, ESPN 94.9 Game 2. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll be right back next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.